And do we, like, corral the dogs somewhere so they're not, like, in the background?
No, typically they're fine, actually. So yeah. I don't know what they're doing today.
We've had a couple be like, pause for dogs.
Yeah, like, maybe once an hour, depending how long we record. But
I feel like that could be a problem.
That's a problem.
Pause for dogs.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. This is Zach, joined by Zach Jenkins and a longtime listener, first-time guest, Joe Vogt. And we are going to be talking about kind of our like past education experiences through professional, basically how we got to where we are today, because I don't know about these two gentlemen, except I kind of do that. I think when we were like 10 years old, I don't think we imagined we'd be where we are right now. If you're listening and you're at where you thought you'd be when you were 10 years old, please write in and tell me how you're a future teller person. That would be great. Joe.
Zach.
You made me sleep in the backseat of your car once.
You know, that is completely ancillary to this conversation topic today, but that's true. I did make you sleep in the back of the car.
And none of you are going to hear that story because
it's a great story.
It's none of your business.
For another day.
Off radio, can I hear that story?
Yeah,
100%. I got to hear that story.
It's really terrible. It paints me in a really awful light. Really, it does.
It does. Like take everything you know about Joe being the nicest person.
That wasn't me.
And it's just, yeah. He just... He did it to me so hard.
He's like, and honestly, come stay over. And just kidding, that's really you sleep in the car.
That was really like the impetus to like our friendship now. So it's weird to see that that's how we started versus where we are now. It's just it's so bad.
Yeah,
it's bad.
But no. So Joe and I went to school together. I feel like Zach Jenkins probably knew that. Nope, didn't know that. Never came up. Yes, mm-hmm. Joe and I. I don't remember how far apart in grade we were.
I think I was
five.
Yeah, I was in 12th grade when you were in like 7th or 8th.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too.
Because like I'm 35. How old are you?
30.
Yeah, so sounds about right.
I just couldn't remember if you had failed anything.
No,
I did
no.
Second grade twice.
Did you really?
Yes.
I mean, I came close a few times, but I never failed.
When I changed schools, like the school I came from was just far behind Oakwood, which is the school we went to. And they were like, I took like the placement exam or whatever for third grade.
Yeah.
And they were teaching like multiplication and division to like kindergartners at that school. And so like I showed up for this third grade placement and they were like
doing algebra.
Yeah. We can put him in third grade, but he's probably going to fail. So you should put him in second grade. Which was perfect because the grade ahead of us, they're just absolute misfits. You know, the worst thing I remember about that class is stole my insulin pump once.
That is dark.
That would be terrifying.
Did you think it was like a Tamagotchi or something? Like, what?
She's sitting there pressing buttons. Like, why won't this dang thing work?
He's not staying alive. He's still dying.
No, we were playing keep away with like a soccer ball, and the game is keep away, and she couldn't get the ball.
So she wanted to take your life?
My pump fell out of my pocket, and so she picked it up and wouldn't give it back until I gave her the soccer ball.
How did she... Because your pump is attached to
you. Well, I had to unplug because I was running around.
Okay. I was like, did she just rip it out? But that makes more sense.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. No, so they were like, you can fail third grade again. You can go into third grade and you can fail, or you can take second grade again. So my parents like left it up to me for some reason.
That's a good choice. That's good for a small child. Good choice definitely. To make.
Yeah. And you're seven. What grade do you want to be in?
Duh.
I probably couldn't even spell seven, so it's probably good I did second grade again. Joe was at that school your entire
grade? No. I went to also a public school prior. So I attended kindergarten, first grade at public school.
Okay.
And then similar to you, when I transferred from public school to private school, because Oakwood was a private school, I struggled for sure. I didn't get kept behind, but there was definitely some struggle there. I remember my mom made me attend, like special ed classes, like after school.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a tutor. I'm old and crusty now, but back then my mom had like,
he's not crusty. His skin is smooth.
It's the cocoa butter. Anyway. but my mom, she had a actual record player in her house, and she had like these old school, like hooked on phonics, like actual like records. And I'd go home after school every day and listen to these and like learn how to like read and write and tie my shoes. It was a
good for
it
you.
It was an uphill battle for sure.
How old were you when you were listening to the like hooked on phonics records?
Like six or seven. Yeah, I was really young. Because Oakwood, you know, to Zach's point, it was a private school, so the curriculum was just it was ridiculous. You know, I mean, I guess the equivalent would be like a college prep school. It was wild. Just
like
to kind
every
of
every class is AP.
Yeah, essentially. To put it into perspective, I remember actually I did fail one class when I was in I think 9th or 10th grade, whatever grade we took algebra in. Algebra two. I failed algebra two.
Isn't that like 10th?
Yeah, it was like 10th grade. So algebra two, I failed like miserably. And this is not for lack of trying. Like I had a tutor after school. I said after class. Like I did all the things I could possibly do to like pass this class. Long story short, my average for like the four quarters or four semesters of the school year was like a 47.
Oof.
It was really bad. So I had to go to summer school. So I went to summer school at this public school up in up in Lake George, because we had a camp up there, so it had to be close to where we were.
Yeah.
So we took
nice camp, by the way.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's where you slept in the car.
That's where I slept in the car.
we'll get there. Anyway, so I had to go to summer school, and I remember the first day of summer school. Like, I go in, I had like my protractor, compass, the, you know, T1000, whatever calculator. I don't know what it was.
You could spell boobs on that.
Yeah. Yes, you could. I was ready to go, and the first day we're like drawing triangles, like literally like drawing them. And I'm
what?
Like, is this like real? Like what's happening here?
You're like, am I back in kindergarten?
Yeah. Yeah. So that proceeded to be the equivalent of the rest of the summer. It was just like ridiculous. Like not even like scholastic in any
so
way.
So it didn't help you?
Not at all. I still don't know anything about algebra 2. But anyway, my
but you can it gave me. You that like passing grade.
Oh yeah.
To move on.
I had a 99. Average in that class, and it was
oh wait
wild.
So that like took the place of algebra 2. It wasn't supposed to like help you to retake algebra 2.
No,
that was it.
Yeah, that was the grade.
Man.
That I
probably should have.
Oh yeah,
algebra
that's
2,
baller.
But yeah, I didn't learn anything.
How come I didn't know about these classes?
I mean that's just public school curriculum typically. I mean, if you're not in the AP classes or the advanced classes, like you're this is not pejorative, it's just like the class material is not as rigorous as, you know, your public school. I'm sorry, your private school. Because the private school, you're paying for that next level education.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
That.
Yep. 99 average. I felt like so brilliant.
Good job, buddy.
So brilliant. I can't do math still. I can't do my taxes, but it's okay.
I mean, yeah, I pay somebody else to do all
yeah,
taxes.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, basic math. Can you take
And what
take
I realized
care
is that I should have been a CPA because that's ridiculous.
They make money.
Yeah.
They do make money.
I think we paid like $540 this year.
Dang. I've done my own taxes, but every time I do, ask my wife. She was with me when I did my taxes this year because we're, you know, recently married. So it was our last year filing separately. Oh, my gosh. I can do them, but I generally want to punch holes in the wall by the time I'm done. You
Absolutely.
Know? I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, I remember, you know, again, back in the day when I was young, we used to my mom used to make us do our taxes like by hand. This is before like TurboTax.
Right.
This is before, you know, all the computer stuff. No, there was no app. There was no go online. You know, and we didn't go to H&R Block. So my mom, we had to go to like the library, I think it was, and we'd get like the actual like 1040 EZ form, make copies of it at the library, pay like 25 cents per copy. And then we would bring them home. We each have two copies and we had to do one in pencil, which my mom would then check over, and then we'd have to do the other one in pen that you'd submit to the IRS. And I did that for like the first, from like 14 to 18, that was how I did my taxes every year.
Your mom is a brilliant woman.
Yeah.
That is a...
It was a great plan. I mean, now I don't do that. I don't do that anymore.
Right.
But as a kid, it taught me how to do my taxes.
But I mean, that's actually...
What a
brilliant.
Great life skill.
Yeah, because I remember when I turned like... I don't know how old I was the first time I filed for taxes, my taxes, but I sat there and got like the forms in the mail and stuff. And I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands. You know, like
going full Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Like, what am I supposed to do with all
yeah.
this?
Yeah. And that's part of the, you know, we're talking about education. It's like some certain things just aren't taught to you that should be taught, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's not just like home ec classes or woodshop. It's just like basic life skills. Like, how do I do my taxes? You know, how do I change a tire? You know, just the things that, you know, seem to be basic, but
are
not taught.
I remember when I learned you had to loosen the nuts on the wheel before you jacked it up.
Nice.
I mean, I've never had to change a tire before.
Yeah.
But like, I always thought I knew. I was like, do. And then I remember like reading it online. Like, it was like from a meme or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, most of my education is through memes at this point in my life.
Memes and YouTube, honestly.
I feel like we can get to that in a second, because I'm curious about Zach's education coming from the Deep South West.
I mean, fair. So, I had a very interesting schooling experience. So technically, I was homeschooled through 12.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. But you're so normal.
Yeah, how are you normal?
So, yeah, that's also where interesting experience came in, right? I wasn't the homeschooler that, like, never left their house and just sat, you know, like, I was a part of a lot of different groups. So I was homeschooled, but I also had my sister and my cousin that my mom homeschooled. So we did school together. My cousin was a grade ahead of me. My sister was 4 grades ahead of me. And then at different times throughout my schooling years, we actually did like homeschool co-ops. So I was actually like with other groups of kids and stuff doing homeschool stuff. So I actually got other social interaction, and then other like out of school programs that I was a part of, like ministry stuff, youth groups and stuff. So I was around other kids. And in El Paso, where I was, there's a huge homeschooling community there. So there was a lot of kids, and enough that like we had our own sports teams and we played in the like private school leagues and stuff. So I was like,
did you beat them?
Depends on the year. My first 2 years playing basketball. So I played basketball, growing up. I was terrible my first 2 years, but our team was good. And we went to the, like, our like city championship. And so, yeah, we were good. Then the next 2 years, we lost our coach and a bunch of like...
Where'd you lose him? Did you even look for him?
He moved.
Oh. He left.
Yeah. And we lost like all our good players. So the next 2 years, like we were really bad. And that was like through like my junior high years and stuff. So it was kind of like getting to where we were building up again. And then the last year I played was freshman year. And we got a new coach, and he was kind of an absolute turd. He was good. He was knowledgeable, but he was just like the hugest jerk on the face of the earth, like screaming and cussing out the kids because we didn't win and we're making him look bad. And he's like, if we win the championship this year, I'm going to get a billboard on the highway of me holding our trophy, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, bro...
That's only a really good leader.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I stopped.
Single, right?
No, he had a wife and kids, and he used to play professional basketball in Mexico.
That doesn't sound as awesome as.
Yeah. So that's why he thought he was like.
You had me at professional basketball.
Yeah. I was like, wow, NBA, that's incredible. Crazy.
In Mexico.
Yeah. So that's kind of why he was so like cocky. And I mean, we did really well. That season, we made it to the championship. We lost the championship, but we made it. But after that, I decided, I was like, I don't want to play anymore. So
no billboard for the guy? No billboard?
No billboard.
That's a shame.
Of course, we were, you know, it was all our fault.
It is.
Because
Joe and I also played basketball.
Now,
much better than I did.
Well, to that point, so we went to a private school. So,
yeah.
But we'd also have... You know, matches, and we'd go up against people who were homeschooled, right? We played against, like, in soccer and basketball.
Yeah.
We played against the homeschoolers, but the homeschoolers, they were really good.
Watching from the bench for me was so much fun.
And I was, like, the sixth man for, like, 2 seasons in a row, so, like...
He was a baller.
It was a good time. But my point being is, like, it was fun to kind of go up against homeschool kids, because it was, for them, it was, you know, quote unquote going out,
yeah,
in some way. And that's not to be pejorative on homeschool kids, because I know several who are, you know, super cool.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
You resemble it? Oh, you don't resent it though. That's cool. I like that. No. But no, it was fun to, you know, kind of go up against them, because it was fun to see them kind of interacting with other people. Cause it also made us feel regular too. Because private school, Oakwood was what? There was 4 people in my class.
Yeah.
We probably had, what, 10 people in your class?
Yeah, I think so, we had one of the largest classes throughout the school, and we like capped at like maybe 16 or something.
Yeah, the whole school was like, what, 150 people? Like from kindergarten to 12th grade?
So that's almost like the co-op thing that I was a part of.
Oh, yeah. But to that point, it was for us, it made us feel like regular kids too, because we would go to our college prep courses during the day, but then it was like, hey, we're going to go to a tournament up in Vermont, you know, which public schools would do. There was, I don't know, what was the name of that place?
I don't remember. But
that pizza was really good.
It was good.
Yeah. No, it might have been because we were just really, you know, young and hungry, and it was free. Yeah. Good times. Yeah.
That's fair. So, the other interesting aspect, and this is why I don't resent that remark, is especially now that I'm older, I'm very grateful that I was homeschooled as opposed to public school, because I feel like I did get a good education. Now, I didn't do anything with it, but...
That's not true.
Fair. But...
We'll get to that.
So in high school, they had this program through the community college. So like, we didn't have, you know, AP courses, right, for a homeschooler, but they had, I forget what it was called, dual credit. It was a dual credit program, where you take a test to like see your aptitude, see if you're able to. And then as a high schooler, your junior and senior year, each semester, you could take 3 classes at the community college, and you'd get dual credit, both college credit and high school credit for it. So I started that as a junior, which that was eye-opening to me for the public school experience, because I'm going to class in college classes as like a 16-year-old.
With 18-year-olds.
With, 18-year-olds who have graduated high school. Mm. And, like, I remember my English 1301, some of these kids, like, we're sitting there, and they're teaching you how to break up an essay into paragraphs in a college course. And they're, like, teaching you, like, oh, yeah, when you write a paragraph, you have to break it into, like, different paragraphs when you start a new, like, you know, thought or concept. And I was, like, I didn't think that I was like way ahead or anything, and I still don't think I was. I think they were just that far behind, because I was like, how do you not know to, like, when you write something, you have different paragraphs for things, you know? Like, there was sometimes we were going over basic punctuation, and I'm like, so it was a little eye opening going to, you know, those classes and being like, wow. These people, like, are they really that far behind, or, I don't know, maybe it was just community college, but...
No, I mean, that kind of touches on my point earlier about when I went to summer school. It's the same thing, where it's like, we thought what we were doing was regular, you know, but we were honestly being pushed, I guess, beyond the norm.
Right.
Then when we went outside of our regular school institution, we saw what other kids were doing, and we're like, oh my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, I started at Hudson Valley when I was 16, so, like, I left Oakwood after 9th grade, did a homeschool year at home, which was basically a year off where I just goofed off with my brother.
Nice.
And
nice.
Like my parents had gotten like some of the same curriculum, like the Abaca curriculum, for me to do at home, but they left all the answers in the back of the book, so I just cheated through everything.
that's good.
And then me and Josh just goofed off for
that's how we learned how to get by in life.
And then I got my good enough degree. And I started at Hudson Valley, and like, I think my first 2 classes were like English Composition 1, like real world math, which they put me in because they were like, they said I needed it. I was like, okay, I'll take it. And then like maybe 3 weeks in, my advisor told me that I didn't have to take it, but it was the only class I made friends in. So I was like, no, I'm going to keep it. And she's like, but you could get a refund. And I was like, no, I don't want to.
You're like, I have friends.
I was homeschooled for a year. And before that, I was in a school with two people in it. So I just want to have some friends.
Yeah, but like from that class, I'm still friends with one of the guys. And through him, I met a bunch of other friends. But I remember being 16 in this real world math class. And one of my good friends in the class, who I haven't seen since then, he was like 42 or 43. His name was Terrence. Absolute teddy bear of a human, could not grasp the concept of math. And the teacher was her first year teaching, like, at a college level. And so she was, I don't know what her thing was. She was so flighty and, like, I don't know. So it was me and two other friends helping this dude, Terrence, grasp the concept of math. And, like, he finished with a C, and he was so freaking happy.
He's like, I passed!
I was like, what a good feeling this is.
Well, it's interesting, like, so for me, growing up, my mom was really strict with, like, schooling and grades. Mm-hmm. Like, school was the most important thing. Like, we were poor, and we didn't have anything. Like, sometimes we'd have hot dog water and, like, open-faced mustard sandwiches for dinner. But cause all the money would go to paying for private school.
Yeah.
Because that's what my mom thought was important, and she's not wrong.
Yeah.
But my point being is, like, for us, like, the standard was if you got less than a 90 on anything, it was considered that you failed. It wasn't like, hey, you got a B, you tried your best, like, you know, do better next time. It was like, no, you failed. You are a failure. Damn. And it, like, the shame of that was just, it was horrific. I remember one year, I was probably like, I don't know, maybe 13, 14, we did ski club. I think you did ski club.
Oh, yeah.
So we did ski club every year.
Like slopes?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. I snowboard. So.
Sorry, I'm from the South.
Wasn't
I don't.
It wasn't private enough where we were shooting ski.
Yeah, yeah, no, ski club. So we'd go skiing after, what, on Fridays, I think it was, at Willard Mountain up in Greenwich.
Oh, good old Willard.
Good times.
So basically a hell.
Yeah, yeah. You can see the bottom from the top. It's not that big. But it was fun, you know?
And, yeah.
It was
great.
Again, to feel like normal kids. So anyway. So I remember one year I got an 89.4 average for like that quarter. 89.4.
Wow.
Now,
like,
barely. Yeah. Now in Oakwood, like if you got 89.5, they'd round it up to the nearest, you know, decimal point. So you'd get a 90. So I had 89.4, and I was just devastated. And I went to my mom, please, like, please. And she's like, no, you're grounded for the whole winter. Like the next, so basically the whole
that 0.6.
Yeah, that whole next quarter, I couldn't do anything. So
yeah.
There was no snowboarding, there was no youth group, there was no, you know, hanging with my friends, no video games, no TV, nothing. It was like, you need to just be studying. But that was just, you know, the standard in the house. And
yeah.
And I mean, even to that same point, I remember there was another year, I think probably the year that I failed Algebra 2 that I mentioned earlier, it was like that whole summer, I was also grounded. So yeah. Like I would go to summer school during it was 8 a.m. I had to be like on the bus, and then I'd be there until like 2 p.m. It was the longest day ever because I had to like drive an hour, all ancillary. But anyway, it was a really long day in school. I get home from school, I'd do my chores, I would go to work because I had a job at the time for like 3 hours a day. Go to work, I'd come home, and that's all I could do was homework.
Dang.
That's it. Like my friends, my sisters, they'd be out having fun. They'd be having fun in the house with me, and I'd be like sitting in the corner with my textbooks, like weeping. You know, because at that point I was like, you know, 14, 15 years old. You know,
right.
So I'm like, you know, a teenager, and it's like you're coming into your own and trying to, you know, make friends and be social. And meanwhile, I spend the whole summer with my head buried in
room.
The books. But that's not a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because now. And I mean, I kind of skipped over this, but so, you know, being in law school now, it's like it's given me that drive to succeed and
yeah.
It gives me that motivation to do well, because it was, you know, literally beaten into me as a child, like, you will do well, you know,
yeah.
And that's just kind of how I came up. So.
Wow.
And I guess I don't know this for sure, but I feel like you've definitely had more different jobs or different style jobs than Zach
myself.
Because, like, obviously, I knew you did radio for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So out of high school.
Really?
Yeah, out of high school, I am.
That's why I'm surprised he's touching the cable to the microphone as much as he is.
You know, it's a long, long time. So out of high school, I was convinced that I wanted to be, like, in radio and do, like, TV and, like, you know, on-air journalism, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I went to school for that for Hudson Valley, it's like 2 years. And
So was it school for like journalism, a degree in journalism?
Yeah, so, or so I got my associate's was in applied sciences, and like broadcast journalism was like the underrated thing. So I did that for like I said, 2 years, and then I went to actual like trade school, quote unquote, to be in radio. So like you'd go to like a studio and you'd do like your actual radio show every day, and you know you learn how to like you know cut together commercials, do production, all that kind of stuff. And I did that for, I actually worked for a few local radio stations for like 2 or 3 years after that. But I hated it.
For working for a local radio station, did you have, were you working like an actual radio show were you like doing the whole DJ thing or like talk radio?
It's a little bit of both. So, I worked for a station up in Lake George. I was the weekend night host, and I would basically every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'd be on the air from like 3 p.m. until midnight, right?
Okay.
And with the first, I think, 8 hours of that would be just on the air. You know, you're doing, you know, voice tracking, you're doing, you know, commercial breaks, talking about songs, talking about new artists, mm-hmm. introducing new songs, new artists, talking about promotions, things like that. And then the last like hour, hour and a half of like the workday, quote unquote, would be like cutting commercials. So like when you hear a commercial on the radio, it's typically DJs who work for the station who are just, you know, reading a script for, you know, whatever the product might be.
Yeah.
So I would do that. So I did that for about 2 or 3 years. And then one day I kind of woke up and I was like, I hate this, which is odd because now I'm talking to a microphone again. But I literally hate it.
But you're with friends.
Yeah, it's different because that's to your point, you know, that life, you know, it's very lonely because you're literally in a room that's, you know, by yourself. It's, you know, 8 by 10, the size of a prison cell. It's tiny, padded walls. So you feel like you're, you know, in like a psych ward and you need to like pretend to be happy and sound happy, even though it's like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. You've been up from 6 a.m., you're tired, and you're like, hey, guys, my name's Joe. You know, it's like,
oh, you didn't even have a fun radio name?
I did. Damien. My name was Damien.
Did you pick it, or did they give it to you? They looked at you and like, you're Damien.
I picked it. Now, Damien Jacobs, I think, was my name on the radio.
Oh, that's sexy.
Yeah, kind of a cool name.
Liquid Steel and sex appeal.
Welcome back. This is Damien Jacobs.
What was it? Damien Jacobs.
In your ear. But it was really lonely, like I said. So it was like, you know what, I need to get out of this. At the time, I was doing radio and also working at Cracker Barrel. It was my first job out of high school. I was a server there, oddly enough.
I forgot you worked at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I was there for 3 or 4 years.
So quick little
side.
Are you a fan of like Southern food then?
No, absolutely.
No.
I mean, yes and no.
Cracker Barrel's not real.
Yeah, Cracker Barrel.
It's not real Southern food.
That's microwave Southern.
Yeah. But it's about as close as you can get up here.
Yeah, and we don't want to. Get sued.
I'm gonna take you somewhere.
We don't want to get sued, so we're not gonna, you know, be libelous here. But I'm not a great fan of the Southern food personally. So I was working there at the time, and I remember I didn't like that job. I hated my radio job, and I wanted to do something different. So I remember one day I was actually at the mall over here in Albany, and I was going shopping for like new clothes or something like that. And I walked past the Cheesecake Factory, and I was like, I remember I was walking like through the mall, and they had these big windows that you could see into the dining room. And it was like a Tuesday lunch, and it was busy as heck. I'm like, how is it so busy right now? And all like the servers, they looked so happy, and like comparative to my job at the time, I was like, man, everyone that I could work with is miserable. So I walked in, and again, this is years and years ago, and like they still had paper applications. You couldn't even apply online. Like, hey, here's an application. Go fill this out. So I filled out the application like that day, and I hired that day, and I started I started working the following like Monday or something like that. So I did that. I served there for about 3 years. Oh, I'm sorry. I stood there for about a year. And in that time, I actually got fired from the radio station. So I got fired from the radio station because I missed a promotional event, and those things are a really big deal because essentially like the station is being paid by whatever vendor it is to come to whatever event it is to promote said event. So I remember I was supposed to go to this event for like, I think Toyota, like one of the car dealerships, Toyota, mm-hmm. maybe Leah, Kia, I don't know. And I was supposed to be there at 5 a.m. to start. Because the broadcast would go out at 6 a.m. And I misread the directions, so I thought it was supposed to be 5 p.m. starting at 6 p.m. So I worked that morning at Cracker Barrel thinking I was available to work. And my phone's like blown up in my pocket the whole time. I'm like, well, I was busy. So I didn't have time to like read, you know, to read the text messages and answer the phone. So I got to work and it's like, it's my boss like freaking out. So yeah, so I got fired. It's all good. We all learn things. So I'm at, so at this point, I'm only at Cheesecake Factory and I'm serving there for about a year, year and a couple months. And in that time, I would go and open up new restaurants. As a server, like, I would go and train new servers, like, how to, like, work at the Cheesecake Factory and, like, how to do your job. So I did that for a couple of years, and I opened, like, two or three restaurants up. And then I remember one time I came back from one of those restaurant openings, and, like, all of my friends were asked to become managers, right? Yeah. Except for me.
Oh, that's
and I was like...
You were too good at what you were doing.
That can't be right.
They couldn't lose you.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you can read it that way if you want to. But I don't know. I was insanely jealous, and I was like, well, how come I can't be a manager? So I went to the GM at the time and the recruiting coordinator. I'm like, hey, I'm like, you know, I want to be a manager too. Now, did I really want to be a manager? No, I just didn't want to be left out. That's really right. That's what it came down to. I had severe FOMO, I guess you'd call it. And so like, yeah, you can be a manager. And I just kind of like fell into that. And then I...
Sometimes all you got to do is ask.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. So I became a manager. I was 22 at the time.
Wow, that's really, awesome. That's really young for a manager.
I was really young. And so I did that for... Oh, God, 12 years,
yep.
Actually, oh, wow. Yeah. Initially, my plan was first 5 years. I'll do it for 5 years. That's it. I'll be a manager until I'm 27, and then I'll be done. That was the plan. But, you know, that's how it is. You know, you're young, and you make dumb choices, and you don't realize how the world really works, you know? Because then it's like, well, you're making, you know, really good money. You have good health insurance. You get all these benefits. You get free food. Like, you know, your schedule is somewhat malleable. You know, it was a good life. But it's a good life when you're young,
yeah.
You know, and then one day I woke up. I was like 30 at the time, and I'm like, man, I hate my life. I hate it because you know you're busy all the time. But it's like you'd go to work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get out at 2 o'clock in the morning, and have to go back to work at 9 a.m. work till 9 p.m. and then go home, sleep, shower, shave. All that, you're back to work the next morning at 6 a.m. You know, that's on the weekend. So, like, yeah. You can't see your friends, can't see your family. Obviously, in the holidays, nights, weekends, they're just consumed by this beast of your job.
Yeah.
So, you have no social life to a degree. Like, you can fit it in here and there, but it's like, it's sporadic. And it doesn't really fit in with being, you know, who I want to be, like, as an adult and, like, have, like, friends and a social life and a family. I'm like, I need to find like an off ramp. I need to get out of this. I need to get out. But again, it's hard to kind of at 30 years old now figure out like,
especially how when you've out of been this. In something and established for like a decade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, because
Zach Jenkins knows nothing about that.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
Well, I mean, he's homeschooled. He doesn't know anything about real life.
facts.
and feel free to jump in anytime here.
Go for it.
So then. Again, I'm like 30 years old. And I'm like, I hate my life. I need to do something else. But, you know, the change is hard. You know, if you step out into the unknown and it's like, you step out of being comfortable. You mentioned being in that same job for 10 years. It's like, it's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, you see all the stuff out there. You're like, oh, I could do that. But then you're like, oh, well, but maybe what I have now is okay. Maybe what I have here is good enough. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I just became more and more just disassociated with my life and my job. I just hated it. So when one day one of the bartenders at the restaurant was going to like UAlbany and he was going to sign up for classes and he was telling me about going down to sign up for classes. And he's like, hey, you know, Joe, you should come with me. And I'm like, nah, why? Like, what am I going to go pay 80 grand for? You know, because how many people do you know that have, you know, that nice piece of paper up on the wall that costs 80 grand and they're still working at, you know, mom and pop shop doing nothing that has to do with a piece of paper on the wall.
They're still servers that you're managing.
Exactly. They're not using that degree. So why am I going to go spend 80 grand on this degree that I don't really need or want, right? So I tell my mom about this interaction that I had with the bartender and she's like, well, you should go. And I'm like, why? And I gave her the same answer I just gave you. I'm like, you know, it's dumb. Like half the people that work for me, they have degrees in English and psychology and blah, blah, blah. And they're not using their degrees. So why am I going to do that, Mom? That's foolish. And she's like, oh, well, Joseph, go take one of those like career aptitude tests. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't need to do this, you know.
A piece of paper is not going to tell me what I should do.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, fine. I'm like, fine, Mom. I'll go home. I'll take this test. So I go online. It was like mynextmove.com, I think it was, something like that. And it was like a hour long like test where you'd answer all these questions about your, you know, proclivities and things you like, things you don't like. And so I take the test. And it was the top three answers were number one would be a lawyer, number two was be a politician, I think, and number three would be a teacher. And instantly, to your point, Zach, I was like firing up the excuse machine about why I couldn't do any of these three things.
Oh, that's not true.
Immediately, I was like, lawyer. I'm like, it costs so much money. It's 3 years long. It's really hard. You know, I can't work at the same time. Like, I have all these excuses. Number two, you know, be a politician. Like, they're all corrupt, you know, degenerates, snorting Parmesan cheese. I'm like, I don't need any of that in my life. Being a teacher, I don't want to do that. I hate kids. You know,
those who can't do teach.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and those who can't teach gym. That's what I hear.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't strike you that like they Cheesecake Factory sent you to other restaurants to train/teach servers to do their job, you know, and honestly, clearly you were good at it.
I hadn't thought of it at the time, and honestly, looking back on it, you're probably not wrong. so I took the test, and those are the answers, and I'm like, you know, again, I'm trying to come up with all these excuses about why I don't want to do it, and I called my mom with the results. I'm like, Mom, this is what the test said. I'm like, this is really dumb, blah blah, and she's like, no, you should be a lawyer. And I'm like, Ma, because you know how it is, you listen to your mom, you know, she tells you something, and you're like, well, maybe mom's usually right. Usually, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, for the most part, mom's usually right. So I'm like, fine, I'll look into it. You know, and then, you know, fast forward, you know, two, three years later, you know, I'm going to my second year of law school, you know, and it's like, woo, it's wild to think that's all kind of, you know, transpired. But
so how did that happen, going from like, maybe I could do this, to like, now you're going into your second year of law school? Like, because I feel like, going from managing a Cheesecake Factory to law school, there's got to be
there's definitely a gap there, and definitely a curve. But a lot of the skills that you learn in the restaurant industry definitely transferred. But there was definitely, I guess, a financial piece. That was the biggest part of my life where I was like, I need to have a plan.
Yeah,
you know, because it's not just, oh, I'm gonna go to school. It's like, well, you need to have money to live off while you're in school. You need to have, you know, a plan financially, because school obviously is expensive, not just textbooks, but just you can't really work really at all. The first year, they're like, you can't work more than 20 hours, and literally you cannot. It's not physically possible. Just
that intense.
Yeah, the course load is utterly insane. So at the time, I put in my 1 year notice at the restaurant. I gave them a year. I'm like, listen, on this day, August 16th, 2022 is my last day. So in that time, I essentially stopped spending money on anything. And if I didn't need it, I didn't buy it. It was like, I ate ramen noodles for like a year. I just didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
And then I bought a 2-family house. So that way, when I was in law school, I wouldn't need to worry about having to pay for my rent, you know, kind of thing. And I just essentially saved every dime that I could possibly save. And then started law school. But most of the change, I guess, really came down to like, oh, I'm not really sure if I want to do it, to I want to do this. It came down to the fact that I didn't want to waste the next 3 years.
You know?
And that was really the thought process for me, where it was like, whether I go to law school or not, these 3 years are going to go past either way, you know? And I didn't want to wake up and be 37 and still be in the same spot, you know? And it came down to the fact that, listen, I was like, you know what? If I do this thing and I hate it, I'll have the degree. And, you know, having that JD opens up a lot of doors for you. Absolutely.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I could say I went and did it because I wanted to do this thing, you know. And I think that, you know, now that I'm in it and looking back, you know, 2 years ago, I'm like, thank God. Like, thank God I'm finally out of this thing. And that's not to be, you know, pejorative on the restaurant, because it gave me so much in my life. Like, I can't at all be upset about it. Like, it's given me, you know, friends, and I've met so many interesting people and connections, and obviously certain life skills, like I mentioned, they transfer over from working in a restaurant to being in law school, because you can talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no, oh, I'm afraid to speak to people, or I have stage fright, because you're constantly, as a manager, you're on stage all the time in a restaurant.
Handling conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
High conflict. I mean, I could tell you stories about the restaurant. They'd scare you. But they teach you, like I said, like conflict resolution, how to be, you know, composed and have a strong demeanor, even though you're under high pressure and high stress. And
this, people
and,
skills.
And people skills, yes. Those things, they can't really be taught to you in a classroom.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have to learn those things, in the fire, right. And you're out there experiencing it, Zach. I mean, obviously, you were a cop before. Like, those skills, they transfer mm-hmm. to whatever it is that you're doing, beyond that. So.
And now you're going to second year law school, and then you're going to graduate in a couple years, and what happens?
I don't know.
Give me a short glimpse. Like, yeah, are there certain areas of law that intrigue you?
Yeah, so,
like bird law? What? Maritime law, perhaps?
Maritime law is a thing. You could be in like the JAG Corps and you could be like a military lawyer.
That's I think
thing.
It's pronounced corpse, but I'm not sure.
It's not. Tomato, tomato?
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Oh my God.
No, but seriously, is there like an area that interests you, or you're still just like so kind of quote unquote new into school?
Oh yeah. I'm so new right now. There's so many.
Don't pigeonhole yourself.
Well, definitely. There's so many different opportunities that are out there with the law. There's so many different types of law, like you mentioned. Like, obviously, maritime law is one, but there's property, business law, trust and estates, litigation, labor and employment. So I've been interning this summer at a law firm over in Corporate Woods doing a lot of labor and employment law because I kind of was informed by my life before working at Cheesecake Factory and hiring people. So I kind of did that this summer, mm-hmm. and I enjoy it. It's really interesting. But then this fall... this fall semester, I'll be at the Albany County DA's office doing like criminal investigations.
Yeah.
So you kind of, while you're in law school, you kind of experience different parts of the law that you are interested in. And then
is that incorporated in your curriculum, or did you decide to do that?
No, it's part of the curriculum.
So okay, you, so they expose you.
To yeah, different. So you
that's
do a,
cool.
So you do a field placement.
That is cool.
So you do a field placement at say the DA's office, and you get credit for it. So it's like 5 credits or something like that. For the 12 weeks of the semester, however long it is, and you kind of get exposed to that particular area of the law. And then it helps you kind of figure out by the time you get to your third year of law school, you're like, okay, I want to do this kind of law. Or here's what I want. I want to be a prosecutor. I want to be a criminal defense attorney. Or I want to be a marriage divorce attorney, whatever.
Yeah.
And you kind of pick what you like. And it's kind of been informed by actual experience while you're in law school.
That's cool.
Because obviously, you read a lot in law school. There's so many different types of there's torts and criminal law and civil procedure, property. There's so many different courses that you take in law school, but mm-hmm. it's not the same because you're only reading a book and you're reading cases. And some of the cases are kind of weird. They're pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But you can't really read these cases and these books and be like, okay, this is the kind of law I want to practice.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So on the career aspect, a little side note question that I'm curious about. When did you model? Because I've been told that you were a model.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And how did your education shape your
it didn't.
Modeling
at
career?
All. Seen him? Have you ever seen the pictures that from his modeling? No, oh, my gosh. He was...
It was a dark time.
Can I say something?
Sure, though? Sure.
Because I feel like I remember you talking about it before as just something you wanted to do.
Yeah, it was
whether
never,
it was not like you weren't going to make a career out of it, but it was like something that you just wanted to do because you wanted to do it.
Yeah, it was really exactly it. It was, I always wanted to do this, when I was a kid. You see people on TV. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Disney Channel, back in the day, and
Johnny Tsunami.
Or what was it? Johnny Capahala back on board. Remember that
movie? Yeah.
The surfer.
That's Johnny Tsunami.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Was his name Johnny Capahala? That was his name, right?
Yeah, but the movie was Johnny.
But there was two movies. There was a sequel, and it was Back on Board. That was the name of the movie.
That was his,
Guys.
This man with trivia, bro. I know my Disney Channel.
So you watch Disney Channel.
Yeah, so you see all these younger folks. I remember seeing Shia LaBeouf when he was 13, and I was like, mm-hmm. I want to do that.
Even Stevens.
Yeah, it's such a great show.
Yeah.
And then I grew up, and obviously I kind of got away from that. But then one day I was maybe 23, 24, and I was actually at the restaurant one day, and I had to go do a table visit, and one of the guests was really angry, their steak was burned, and his wife's food had hair in it, just
total disaster.
Disaster. It's chaos. They waited too long in the lobby. The baby is screaming across the street. Everything was just horrible. So I had to go do this table visit, and they're just screaming at me, and one of the guy at the end of the table, he was quiet. He didn't have any problems. And as I was leaving, after I finished, you know, solving the problem by giving him everything for free, the guy was like, "Hey," he's like, "Hey, come here." I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Hey, look, you know, you're kind of handsome. Give me a good look. You know, you should, you know, come to this audition on Saturday. It's for, you know, this fashion show down in Atlantic City." And I'm like, am I being like human trafficked right now?
Right. You're like, where's the cargo shipping crate that you're going to throw me in?
Like, does this napkin smell like clothes? Does it smell like clothes to you? You know, it was scary. So I'm like, oh, I guess I'll look into it, whatever. So I went home that night and like Googled like anything I could Google about this thing and this event, and it all seemed to be on board. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I went to this audition and, you know, I got, you know, selected to be in this runway show in Atlantic City. And then from there, it kind of just kind of blossomed into, like, you meet people and you hear about other events, and eventually, you know, you kind of connect with people and you know, like, hey, listen, there's a fashion show in New York City, and suddenly you're walking in New York Fashion Week kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then you meet people up here. I met people up here in Albany and kind of got into some local stuff and did like a couple movies here and there. But it was fun. It was something that I kind of wanted to do.
What movie?
I don't even know. Like,
wait, do you have an IMDb page?
No.
Can we make one for you?
That's what I was going to ask. I was like, are these movies that we're going to... Am I going to go watch some film back and be like, oh my gosh.
Are you credited as Joe Vogt or Damian Jacobs?
I think it'd be under Jay Brandon, actually. I think would be what it'd be credited under. I don't even remember. There was one movie...
Am I not supposed to be saying your last name?
I don't care.
Okay.
There was one movie on Netflix, but I don't even know if my scene was in the movie. It was, again, this was many years ago, and that was probably 8-9 years ago. But I did that because, so I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, it comes down to really, we talked earlier about you, Zach, you know, you went from being in law enforcement to now you're working in a trade. And it's like, it's not ever too late to do what you want to do. I think that's the overarching, I guess, theme of at least my story is like, even though I'm 35 now, it's like, well, you know what? I don't need to stay doing the same thing that I have been doing for forever. I'm not happy with it. I'm young-ish, single, don't have any kids, not married. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can go do whatever I want to do. Lady, call me. Just give me the first 2 numbers of your phone number. I'll figure the rest out.
Yeah. He's very persistent.
Yeah, I'll get it. But it's like, it's not too late to do what you want to do, right? And if you want to go pursue that dream, go and do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because that time is going to go past either way. And that was the biggest motivation for me. It was like, I didn't want to wake up and be 40 and say, oh, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd, you know, done this differently. Because eventually, at some point, you do wake up and it is too late.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're 65 and you're like, all right, well, I'm in the winter of my life. It's over.
Yeah. That's, you know? That chapter's done.
Yeah.
That's kind of like how the podcast started. I've been talking about it for years. And then one day I was just like, all right, I'm going to do it. And my wife was like, okay, go for it. So, you know, might not go on for forever. It might be the modeling of my life compared to yours, but
that's the thing where it's like, you know, and that's the hard part is starting, right? Because you mentioned just now, you're like, oh, well, I've thought about it for years. You can think about something for years. You can think about something for your whole life. Oh, I'm going to do it someday. But the thing is, someday is not a day of the week.
Right.
I'm either going to do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Pick a day. When are you going
to
do it?
The first steps are always, they seem to be the hardest. Sure. But once you start getting yourself moving towards that, then okay. It's one of the things, an analogy that I always liked to use when I was a trainer on the police department, training recruits. So I would tell them, because, right, they're getting thrown into, they're fresh out of the academy, getting thrown into, like, hey, here's real life. Like, here's the real job. This isn't, you know, this is the real deal. This isn't, like, playtime with actors and stuff. This is the real deal. And so I'd tell them as they're, like, trying to make decisions, I'd go, hey, just start moving, you know, like start making a decision, start going in a direction. It's like a boat. If it's moving, you can turn the rudder and get to go where you need it to go. If it's just sitting in the water, you can turn the rudder all you want, but it ain't doing nothing.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, to that point, it's like, you think about it, making no decision is still a decision.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're choosing to not do anything.
Yeah.
There's no motion. There's no movement towards that goal. It's like, oh, well, I'm thinking about it, but you're not taking actionable steps. Yeah. It's hard to start. it's difficult to step out into the unknown. Like I mentioned earlier, it's hard to step off that plank and hope that there's going to be some ground underneath you. It's hard. But eventually you look back and you've taken 1,000 steps and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, I'm I took the first one and now I'm 999 steps beyond that. You know, and I've changed my whole life and everything's different. Everything's new. Mm-hmm. And you don't regret it. Even if, you know, say it's a podcast or modeling or working a trade, getting married, I don't know. You know, whatever it is, you know, you're like, damn, I'm so happy I did that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is actually running a little long, which is a good thing. So let's stop it here. We'll pick up Zach Jenkins' story in the next episode. Joe,
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're going to be here for the next iteration as well. But you're welcome. Thank you for coming.
I'm always glad to be part of it. Appreciate it.
It'd be great. So this was another episode of My Life, Your Life Together. Thank you guys so much for listening. And be sure to listen next week for Zach Jenkins' Trial Through Fire. No, that's not the name of the episode.
Also, I don't know what all platforms are on, but like, subscribe, thumbs up, do all that good stuff.
Share with your friends.
Yeah. If you want to sponsor us, feel free.
And buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, buy a t-shirt. There is merch, which I'm currently wearing.
Yep.
Which is Joe's dope.
Taking out his
phone. I'm literally buying a t-shirt now.
I love it. This is why we need a video, though.
We're taking actionable steps, right? It's hard to start, but once you start, it's okay.
Yeah, once you start buying, you just can't stop. You wake up with a t-shirt. You have 12 t-shirts. Go with a hoodie, crew neck.
My first purchase of our merch was like over $100. Because I got stuff for my wife, I got stuff for me.
Yeah.
It was great.
I love it. Yeah. But yes, like, subscribe, comment, DM, all that fun stuff. And we will see you next time.